book of Job, chapter 1. I was sharing with, I was talking this morning with Sherry. We had our coffee. I was thinking about, you know, your birthday. Think about those things a little bit more. Remember, I was thinking about my parents. That was a big day for them 64 years ago. My mom, they told my mom she would never be pregnant, become pregnant, and one in a million chance that she would be. And then she found out she finally was. And then the day came, I was thinking about my parents, how they felt that day when your child's born. And then, you know, all those years have passed and both my parents are gone. And I miss them. It's hard to believe that that whole era of my life, you know, from the time they in 59, they bought the house that they lived in, and we lived in that same house up until my mom died in 03, my dad did, and then he sold and moved up here. And just thinking about all that just being gone, that's a kind of a profound thought, that whole era being gone there. But my dad told me one time, it was a funny story, he said, My grandfather, my mom's dad, he was not a talker. He died when I was probably about five, I think. I can remember him somewhat, and I always remember him not saying anything. Can't remember him stringing a sentence together, you know, very long. Wasn't a conversationalist. My mom said when she was small, her mom died when she was around 12 or 14 years old, and my grandfather remarried, and I knew that grandmother, but you weren't allowed to talk at the dinner table. You know, most people, that's when they have all conversation. But she said in those, you couldn't talk. You know, so everybody just sat there in silence. And so my grandfather, not being much of a talker, you know, when I was born in Key West, and Teresa Montgomery, she was too. And so we're kind of unique. We're conks. They call you a conk if you're born in Key West. And but my dad called up to, you know, his father-in-law, my grandfather, mom's dad. He called up there. They were in Cape Charles, Virginia, over on Eastern Shore. And he said, hey, he said, well, we had a boy. My grandfather said, okay, click. Hung the phone up. That's all he said. Okay. Didn't ask how mom was doing or nothing, man. I said, yeah, I could see him probably doing that. Dad got, he laughed about it, probably shook his head. But yeah, okay. Oh, man. Everybody's different. All right, in the book of Job, chapter 1, the Bible says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one on his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side, that thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land, But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon him put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. And as always, Lord, we want to hear from you, and we trust you for speaking to us. Lord, you know every need of every person that's here today, and I pray that we'll see our own need, Lord. I pray for that one that may be here lost, never called on your name, or maybe just did, but it's not a reality, Lord, that it will be today. And so put the whole service into your hands. I pray you bless this message, Lord, to serve you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, Hast Thou Considered My Servant Job, in verse 8. You know, Job had everything that we would hope to have in life. You know, not only had a big family, had his children live pretty close to him. He had a relationship with God. The Bible said that he eschewed evil, which means that he avoided it best he could. He feared God. We see that he worshiped God. He did sacrifices, prayed for his family. He was blessed with wealth. We had a little list of all the things that he was blessed with there, and with cattle and servants. He had servants. He had land. Those things, he had about as much security and stability that a person could have on this earth, you know, outside of God. Everything that people put their faith and trust in for security, he had it. So he had those things going on. But then we see also, and some of these things are profound things to me. One of them is that there was a discussion going on in heaven between God and Satan about this man Job. That God and Satan were having a conversation about one individual person that was on the earth. And there were a lot of people on the earth in that day. And Satan told God that he had gone to and fro the earth. God asked him, said, "Where, you know, whence comest thou?" Now God knew where he had come from. It was a rhetorical question. "Whence comest thou?" And Satan said that he had gone to and fro throughout the earth. And that was an insinuation that he had some power over what he had dominion over, that he could go to and fro in the earth. Nobody had hindered him. Nobody had stopped him. He was walking to and fro. We know from another verse in the Bible, Satan, and you know, it's kind of, Satan's such a slick liar. He said walking to and fro in the earth from walking up and down in it. You know, another verse tells us in the Bible that he went walking to and fro in earth seeking whom he may devour, but Satan didn't say that. He didn't say, "I was up and down in the earth seeking whom I may devour," because he knew that God could keep him from devouring anybody. He just said he went seeking, walking up and down in the earth, and it was a insinuation that he was not hindered in doing so. Not no hindrance to his own will or no challenge to his authority or power, even though he knew that wasn't true as well. And then God brings up Job. He says, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" I know that God probably already knew all the answers. I know that God did know all the answers, that he knew that old Satan had considered Job. But Job was saying, "You know what? I've went up and through the earth, and I'm seeking who I may devour, and there's no hindrance. I can do whatever I will." But what God was pointing out, but have you thought about my servant Job? You know what? I'm going to tell you why I want you to think about him, because there's a place right there where you don't have a foothold. There's a place that you don't have any control, and that's in the heart of Job. Because God knew Job's heart, and I'm going to tell you what, Satan knew it was true. He knew he hadn't been able to get at him, because we'll find out in a minute he'd already tried. And so there was a place, he said, when Satan got done bragging, God threw Job up in his face and said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Note that it was Satan himself that pointed out that Job was blessed. That so Satan is aware of our blessings. That he said, "Well, you know, yeah, you blessed him, and he's got all these things and everything. He's got them. I'm aware of it." And Satan also knows, but you know what, God? You put a hedge around about him, around him, around everything he owns, around his family. You've got a hedge about him. And Satan had, he said, a hedge on every side is the way he worded it. How did Satan know that God had put a hedge around every side of Job? I'm going to tell you why, because he'd been trying to get at Job for some time. He knew that Job had a testimony in the world. He knew that he had a land. He had tried, and I don't know whether I was thinking about that. I did some contemplating on my own or considering on my own. I don't believe it was an actual hedge. I believe around the man Job there was some things that God had put in his heart that Satan couldn't penetrate. I believe that's the way it looks. So the Bible talks about the armor, putting on the whole armor of God. Job didn't have that verse yet, but we do. But I believe around his thing, there was things, listen, Satan had tried to get at Job, I believe, as he walked to and fro in the earth. He had tried to get to him somehow. Everything that we see that happened to Job, and most of us know the story of Job well, everything we see happen to him, Satan had tried to cause happen to him already. He had tried to get to him. And he couldn't do it. He had already been considering Job, this guy Job, and he wanted to get to him. You know, if you got a testimony for God, I'm going to tell you something. If God didn't put a hedge around it, Satan would get you. Never think that you're smarter than Satan. Never think that you're more powerful than Satan. Because when God took the hedge down, Satan got to him. Now, he didn't get his testimony. He didn't get his heart. But I tell you what, he got everything else. And you know, you never know, but by the grace of God, what protection that he has placed around us, our life, our family. And so Satan knew that he was blessed. He knew there was a hedge because he had already considered Job in his life. And so, but Satan said to God, he said, yeah, he said, you know what? But the only reason follows you, worships you still, is trusting you is because, and the only reason that he's upright and perfect was because you have blessed him. And he said, but I'm going to tell you what, you take that blessing away, and I'm going to tell you, that man will curse you to his face. Now, Satan questioned Job's motive. Now, this is what Satan doesn't understand. He doesn't understand there's some things when he considers that he can't wrap his head around. And so he was wrong. But he attacked his motive and said the only reason. Now, I wondered about that. I wondered about the people that if God took your blessings away, would you still serve God? Would you still follow God? I know there's people that won't, because I'll tell you why. Because I've seen people come into a crisis in their life, and things didn't turn out like they thought they should. Maybe they lost their health, and maybe they lost their wealth, and maybe things just didn't. They had some crisis in their life, and you know what happened? They fell slam out of church. They fell away from God, and you know they just fell out because of this tragedy that happened in their life. You think it would make you come closer to God? I've had some tragedy in my life, and it brought me closer to God, and I know other people have as well. But not everybody. Some people go away from God, get farther away. And so I wondered about that. And so Satan had seen that. He's seen it. And he thinks everybody's that way, but everybody's not. And so he attacks his motive. And then I didn't read that far. After he took all of his substance, we know that he took Job's health as well. That boils from the top of his head down the bottom of his feet. And he had to scrape himself with a pot shard, a piece of broken pottery. But you know what? Satan was wrong again. Why was he wrong about Job? I'll tell you why. Because Job had already learned or knew what a lot of people need to know. And that is that you got to set your affections on things above and not things on this earth. Huh? You got to set your affections. I'm going to tell you what, we're so wrapped up in our things that if they are taken away, you know, they said when the stock market crashed back in the 30s that people committed suicide. They jumped off buildings, killed themselves, and all because they had all their hope and all their trust was in money. Now, listen, I don't want to lose all my money. I don't think anybody here would say, hey, I want to lose all my money, but I know if I lose it all, it wouldn't be much. If I lose it all, you know what? I still got God. I mean, if you get down to it, I mean, you still got God. And people need to learn that. The Bible says, lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust will not corrupt. I mean, everything we got is corruptible. I was telling Sherry, I was thinking when I was talking about my parents a while back and thinking about the household. My parents bought the house new. And, man, we were the only family that lived in there, you know, and we grew up. And you know how when you grow up in a place like, if any of you here grew up in one place, you know how you just, man, like your whole life there. And now that house is in somebody else's hands and they're making their memories. And I told Sherry, I said, you know, if something happens to us, if the Lord doesn't come back and something happened to us and our kids didn't take our house, nobody lived in it, then some other family down the road, you know what? We're just caretakers of it anyway. Think about this land around here. Somebody else years ago owned this piece of turf right here, and somebody years before that owned that piece. All we do is just take care of it. We're just caretakers in the way. I mean, yeah, there's money that goes this and that and other, but it's God's, right? And if we got to put our affections on things above. And listen, Job didn't want to lose his family. Job didn't want to lose his health. Job didn't want to lose all of his cattle and all of his servants. He didn't want to lose all those things. But I'm telling you what, that wasn't where the gist of it was. He had a trust in God. And listen, the only thing that's sure in life is change itself. That's the one sure thing that we're going to have is change. Somebody's made that statement. There's everything that has to do with God is sure. But in life, apart from God, change is inevitable. We're going to see that. So I got just 3 points to talk to you about this morning. And we'll see that Satan considered Job, Satan contemplated Job, and God confounded Satan. And the very first thing we see is Satan considered Job. That word considered means thought about carefully. That Satan had thought about Job carefully. And like I pointed out, he had thought about his blessings. He wanted to get him. I mean, the only reason I know that is because he knew that hedge was there. He knew he couldn't. He had tried and he couldn't get to Job already. But I wondered about this. If Satan came before God, and I don't know that he doesn't. He did there. I don't know that he doesn't do that today. If Satan came before God, and God said, Satan, whence comest thou? And he said, I've been walking up and down the earth seeking whom I may. He wouldn't say seeking whom I may devour, but that's what he was doing. Would God say, hast thou considered my servant, fill in the blank with your name? Hast thou considered my servant? And would that be something that God would want to bring up in the face of Satan as a defense for love and glorifying himself? Would we be that person? That's something to think about. In what sense does Satan consider God's people? Think about it carefully. Well, it's not with any good intent. It's always with evil. As Satan considers people, it's always with evil intent. Satan first considered all men to be as himself. Satan's thought is, this is the way I think. How could anybody else think different? I did a little reading and studying over the years on psychology. And one thing I found out, and I've even noticed this in experientially, that wicked people or evil people think everybody else is wicked and evil too. If you ever been around anybody, if you ever know a chronic liar, you ever know anybody that habitually lies, chronic, they can't help it. I've known two people that were, they lie about anything for no reason. And all without fail, chronic liars always believe everybody else is lying. I got a nephew. I don't know. I don't think he's a chronic liar, but Kyle will get a kick out of this because he's one of them kids. You know how kids do. You tell him anything. You tell him, That wall's right. I went off on him one time. We was turkey hunting together out there, and I said something. And he goes, I said, what do you think I'm doing? You think I'm lying to you? He was like, I said, you think I'm lying about everything? I said, I'm telling you the truth for crying out loud. But people that constantly lie, they always think somebody else is lying to them. You can't convince them of nothing because they lie so much. They really believe that everybody else lies. People that are thieves, people that steal, they think everybody's out to steal everything from them. They think everybody else is a thief. So people that are untrustworthy, they don't trust anybody else. It's a psychological, very seldom do you find anybody because people that are selfish think everybody else is selfish. And so Satan thought that the only reason Job feared God was because that he was getting something for it, that tit for tat. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I believe there's people, I know there's people in churches and in Christianity somehow think that's how God operates. They think, well, if I do this, if I go to church, then God's going to bless me. I believe he will bless you for it, but he doesn't owe it to you. I believe that, if I do the good this week, then everything will work out good. The tit for tat relationship with God, they think that. And Satan, I believe he thought that. And so he said the only reason that Job feared God, that God would bless him more, a selfish motive right there. And then, but then there's another thing. I think there's things when Satan considered somebody like Job, there was things in Job's life that he just couldn't explain. He couldn't explain the peace that Job had, especially as the things that God allowed him to do took place in Job's life, that he still had peace. He still had faith in God. He can't explain that. He doesn't understand it. And this world doesn't understand it either. He can't, you know, the world can't explain or understand the calmness of soul that a real born-again child of God should have in their life, and that peace that passes all understanding. And he's astonished at times at what he sees in God's faithful people. That astonishes him. He sees it because he already goes to and fro in earth seeking whom he may devour. He's looking at those things. I believe he's considered that. He also considers the saints to find a flaw. You know, I remember my pastor used to preach this, and he'd talk about it if it was so hypotheticals, because we don't always know how it is. But he said, you know what? Satan might come up before God one day and said, you know what? And if God said, hey, consider my servant Daniel Boone, and Satan would say, yeah, I considered him, and look at this. Look what he's been thinking. Look what he's been doing. Look what he's been saying. And God just going to look, he said, yeah, but I see the blood. That's all he's going to say. He said, I see the blood. I think that, you know, but I believe Satan does look for flaws. I remember a prison ministry one time that came, these prisoners that were Christians, they were about to get out of prison. They came to a church that Sherry and I were going to, they had a dinner for them and all, and some of them spoke. They were preachers and that, and we got to talking with one guy. We sat down with this one fellow, was by himself, buddy. I'm telling you what, his porch light was on too, brother. He looked like you, Brother Darren. He did. I'm not making that up. He did look a lot like you. A little thinner, but but that guy, I tell you what, you know what he told us? He said, I'm tell you what, in prison, he said, if you say you're a Christian, if they find out you're a Christian or you say it, he said, you better live it. He said, because them prisoners know more about how you're supposed to live than the people that are saved. And he said, if you slip up, they'll say, aha, aha, I got you right there. You messing up. You made a mistake. You're doing something wrong. They'll point it out quicker than anything. He said, boy, you better walk the walk and talk the talk if that happens. And if you tell somebody you're a Christian, well, I think Satan does the same thing. He said, aha, he's up there. Look. All God's got to do, if you're really saved, he said, I see the blood. He's mine. He's one of mine. He ain't perfect, but he's one of mine. And that's it. But what Satan wants to say, look, that's what you sent your son to die for, that right there. You sent your son to die for that. Look what they're doing. That's the other side of the coin. That is a sad statement right there. Huh? That is a sad statement right there. He's looking for impurity and inconsistency in our lives. And I'll tell you what, in Job's life, I'm going to tell you what, God knew it. When God brought Job up, he knew Satan wasn't going to find too much. Oh, what, was he perfect? No. We know he deals with maybe a little pride issue, not much, as he dealt with him through his life. I'm going to tell you what, he didn't find a lot. Seeing Satan knew he wasn't going to find a lot either. He couldn't find much in Job, or he would have went, aha! He said it, so he had to take something from him and try to get an aha on him, you know. He had to try to get something out of him. So I'm gonna take all of his family, and I'm gonna take all of his money, and I'm gonna see if he don't curse you to your face, and then I can say, aha, look what happened. And then he did, but that didn't happen. He said, I'm gonna take his health and see if he don't curse. And he didn't do it. And he said, man, I still can't get nothing on him. If he had anything on him, he'd have brought it up. We don't have it in the Word of God. I think Satan considers the great saints, the faithful few that God still has. I believe there's other people like Job that was in the world then. I believe there's people like Job that's in the world now. That when if Satan considered them, man, he ain't finding much to them. And he might find some barriers in that, but he considers them because people like that are a hindrance to his kingdom. That kingdom Satan wants to start right there. And so I think also that Satan considers God's people so that he can do them harm. That's why he knew that there was a hedge around on every side, he said. Every side. That means Satan had went here and he couldn't get at him there. And he went over here and he tried another little angle to get it at Job there, and that didn't work. And he went all the way around the other side and he tried to get in and he went around on the other side. Whatever angle it was, every area of his life, whether it had been lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all those areas that Satan attacks, he went in all those areas and he couldn't get him. Couldn't get Job. And so he had considered it, but I'm going to tell you what, there is people that he does get. There's people that he gets. Yeah. You know, because you don't put your armor on like the Bible says, and you're not putting your faith and trust in God. And we're just flesh and we fail. He gets them and he keeps trying because he wants to get that testimony. And so I believe the thought that anybody could be different from him, though, hadn't crossed his mind all that much. And he can, as he considered these things. You know, I wanted you to know something, that if Satan, because Job had a good testimony, if Satan could have killed him way before this conversation took place with God, he'd have killed him. And if you got a testimony for God, I'm going to tell you something. Satan's going to, number one, he's going to attack you. And if he could kill you, he would. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, he would be able to kill you. Because you're not strong enough. Satan is smart. He's slick. He's wily. I mean, man, listen, he wanted, think about that. He would have killed him, but God had set a limit. Jesus told Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. He wants to sift you as wheat. He sifted him too. He sifted him as wheat. God had a plan and purpose for that. Now listen, I'm going to tell you what, if Satan, I believe this, if you got a bad testimony for God, I believe Satan will keep you alive as long as he's able to. Why kill you? You're helping him. You're helping his kingdom. Saying that you're a Christian, living like the devil. A bad testimony for God. I'm going to tell you what, one or two things are going to happen right there. I believe if you're a real child of God, God will kill you. One way or the other, that testimony is going to get straightened out. I believe if you're a real child of God and you keep living, I know God's long-suffering and I know God's got patience and I believe that God will deal with us and I know we're not perfect, but I believe if you kept on living in sin, and you're claiming you're a Christian and you are really a child of God, the Bible says he chasteneth and scourgeth those whom he loved, his children, his own children. He scourgeth them, even to death. But I believe if you're also at that same time, Satan do all he can to keep you alive because he's got a bad testimony in the world. One way or the other, it's a bad deal right there. And if he can't, like I say, if he can ruin your testimony, he'll do it. If he can't ruin your testimony, he wants to kill you. I believe there's others like Job that Satan would kill if he could, but he can't. You know, there's a story over just in the chapters before that, Esther. I think a month or so ago, I preached about Esther, and there was old Haman. Haman wanted to kill all the Jews. Remember that story? Haman wanted to wipe out all the Jews. And Haman got so aggravated with Mordecai because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him and worship and all that. So Haman brought in his wise men, soothsayers. They dealt in the occult. They would try to find out the things. And this is what it said over in Esther. It said, and this is what the soothsayers now, the wise men, use the term loosely. If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him. You know what he's saying? He got a hedge about him. Huh? He's got a hedge. If he's one of the Jews, there's a hedge about him. And he said, you before whom you've begun to fall, because Haman had begun to try to have the Jews killed. He said, if he's one of the Jews, not only that, you're not going to prevail. That's what he's saying right there. The soothsayers knew it. Why? Because they were in the occult. And they consulted with Satan. And Satan knew it. I mean, man, that's how they knew. Satan knew that he couldn't prevail against God's people. And so, man, listen, he knows. Satan knows. I'm going to tell you what. You know, we don't know who's saved a lot of times. I mean, we can look at the fruits of the Spirit. We can look at somebody and say, well, that's probably a saved person. They certainly live in the part. They act the part. They talk the part. We don't know for sure. There's some hypocrites on that side. Then there's other people that are claiming that they're saved, and they ain't nothing, you know, there's no fruit of the Spirit whatsoever. Everything contrary to their profession, and there's a good chance that they're not saved. But I'm going to tell you what. I'll tell you a better fact. Satan knows better than we know who's really saved. Because them really saved ones, he can't get them. He just can't get to them. God may allow some things, but they won't lose their testimony. No, he attacks. He still attacks. Satan never knows when God may allow him to reach somebody. He enjoys it. You know, why would Satan attack somebody if he knows he can't win? Because he just likes to see people suffer. He enjoys it. That's the bottom line, the only thing I can think of right there. And he wants to steal your testimony. If he can't get your salvation, he wants your testimony. He wants your joy. He wants your peace. All the things that he can't have. He doesn't have them. He can't get them. He can't get joy. He can't get peace. He can't get salvation. None of those things. And if you know, when I thought about this, have you ever considered the fact that God allowed Satan to attack Job and take his wealth and health and all that? Say, well, listen, God loves me. You ever wonder why that God allowed Satan to attack? I mean, it was severe. All of his children in a single day. All of his cattle, servants in a single day. Lost everything but his wife, and she wasn't no great help. In Job's spiritual life, you know, lost everything. You ever wonder why? Well, Wednesday night people, you know why. What's our purpose? Glorify God, buddy, because God's going to get some glory. That's what it is. To glorify God, that's why. God was glorified because when Job's wife said, look, why don't you just curse God and die? Job, I'm going to have to paraphrase a little bit, but Job said, listen, are we going to receive the good things from God and not the bad? Nah, I'm not cursing God and die. No, I'm not going to curse God. I might die, but I'm not going to curse God. He didn't say all those things, but he said that. He said, as we're not going to receive the good things and not the evil. He wouldn't do it. And I believe when Satan thought he couldn't believe it, I believe this just blew Satan's mind. He considered it. What in the world? I've done everything I can do. He will not. He will not curse God. So Satan had considered Job, and then he contemplated Job. And he's been contemplating man for thousands of years. Satan knows about our fallen nature. He knows our fallen nature better than we know it. And he knows how to exploit that. He knows how to use that. He knows how to play upon our pride, our lust, our selfishness. He knows the mind of man. And he knows the heart to a certain degree. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked and no man can know it, but Satan got a pretty good handle on the heart. He knows when to attack. Some people he attacks in their loneliness. Some people he attacks in the crowd. He just knows when he can get you. He knows where your weak points are. It doesn't take much. He knows our affections, what we love. He knows it. He knows about those objects of love. He knows about distractions. And he knows what we're prone to naturally. You know, some people are prone to this. There might be a certain sin that tempts you more than it does somebody else, and something else tempts him more than it does you. Satan knows all about it. Man, he's got it all figured. He's got all that figured out. And he went after Job's wealth. He got after Job's children. He used Job's wife. And he went after Job's health. And all those things are things that man idolizes. Money, health today. Good grief, man. Who'd have known, you know, 30, 40 years ago, if you'd invested in all these health spas and weightlifting and running, man, they got a thing now. You can run in the house and you got a screen on there and you're running out in Colorado. You can look at that. They can't duplicate that oxygen missing, though. And you're running on that thing and then they get the incline. You're going uphill and you don't even have to go out of the house. You got your little headphones. Everybody's working out, man. We're going to eat this, take this pill, some new herb, this, that, and everybody buys all that junk. Huh? Be like old George Burns, man. I mean, a cigar and drink, lived to be 100, whatever. You know. So people worship health. Some people do worship their children. Some people even worship their wife. Their spouses, all those things that as idolized by man, he went after those things. He still didn't curse God. And then at the end, so Satan contemplates all those things. And then the last point, God confounded Satan. Satan knows man pretty good, but God's the creator. God created man, not Satan. And God knows man. And God can see the heart. And God also knows Satan because he created the angels and Satan was a fallen angel and he created him as well. Someone said Satan has more knowledge and less wisdom than any other creature. More knowledge and less wisdom than any other creature. And he was trying to get Job's testimony. And this was the very man that God had put up to Satan and put in Satan's face as evidence that Satan didn't have everything. He didn't have everybody. And little did Satan know that God was accomplishing his purpose through this conversation, this event, this whole thing. God was going to glorify himself. Satan didn't see that. You know, if Satan knew that God was going to get more glory than he already had, Satan would have never attacked. He would have left Job alone. But he thought he was going to get him, and he went full bore. After everything that he could do to Job that he was allowed to do, he did it. But God ended up glorifying himself before Satan in the world. And we still have it right here. And this was a thing that Satan, there was nothing that Satan could do about it. I remember watching a thing. I like sports. I was watching a thing on the NBA, and the guy was talking about Larry Bird back in the day. Y'all remember Larry Bird? And he said, man, I'm going to tell you something about Larry. He said he didn't do trash talking because he backed up. He said he told me one time, he said, I'm going to run over there. I'm going to get the ball, and I'm going to shoot from right there, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. And he said, that's exactly what he did. Huh? That's what God said. Listen, there ain't nothing you're going to do about it. Nothing Satan could do. God allowed, like I said, Satan to take it all except his wife, and she wasn't a great help in the spiritual issue anyway. And when it got down to it, you know what Job had? Job had his wife. All he had was God. That's all he needed. He just had God. But I'm going to tell you something. God didn't leave Job in the midst of all that. It kind of looks like God's up there in heaven sitting, and Satan's up there going, yeah, and he goes after him, and God's just sitting there. No, 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 no. I'm going to tell you what. God was right there with Job. And he was uplifting him. He was giving him strength. He was encouraging him. He was speaking to his heart. I'll guarantee you through the whole ordeal. God was encouraging Job. He didn't leave him down there by himself with Satan. Nuh-uh. No, it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened. It was God, and he had enough. And Satan can't defeat God. And the end result, and later in the Bible it says that Job, you know, at the beginning what I read to you, it said Job was perfect and upright and he feared God and he eschewed evil. Guess what? When Satan got done with Job, he was a better man than when he started the attack. God dealt with him through some things, all the rest of the chapters, you'd be here all day reading that. But he went through all the rest of the chapters and some other things in Job's life. God dealt with him through the trials. And at the very end of it, the Bible says that he doubled everything he had. He had more children. He had more cattle and all those things. And God had blessed him. All those attacks. But all those things, Job was a better man at the end than he was at the beginning. And God got the glory for that. He glorified God. Satan failed. God had a greater testimony in the world than he ever had. We see from a text that Satan had considered Job. And I said, if you live for God, you're going to have a testimony for God if you can be assured that Satan has considered you. But you know, the most profound thing about the whole story to me is the fact that God considered Job. Because I believe that God considers us. He considered us before salvation. He considered us and sent his only son to die on the cross even in the midst of all of our failures. But the fact, you just wondered about this. Has God and Satan ever been standing there talking about fill in the blank with your name? As I said earlier, or just the fact, even if Satan wasn't on the scene, the profound thing is that God considers every individual person. That means he thinks about, or you know, studies carefully every individual person. That's profound that God takes that time. Because we think we're just this big mass of humanity and God doesn't have, he's got some special time for these giants that we might see serving him or leaders of the world and all those people, but no, us, that he considers us. Think about that. What kind of thoughts does God have about us? God's thoughts are completely opposite of Satan. He has thoughts of goodness, love, thoughts of mercy, thoughts of salvation. So if you're here today and you're not saved, I'm going to tell you something God's thought about it. He sent his son to die for you. He thinks he loves you. He's thinking about that. He's considering you. If you're here and you are saved, God still considers you. He's thinking about you. It's good thoughts. Even though we fail, he still has good thoughts towards you and I. That's another profound thought. Well, I hope the message blessed your heart this morning, maybe encourage you some way. If you need to